We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All of us are going to develop a disease at some point.
But aging is a disease.
Aging is a disease. Our body is a machine, and we are beginning to discover why we age. How do you slow it down? How do you stop it? Maybe how do you reverse it?
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness. Very excited about our guest, Peter Diamandis, in the house. My man. Good to see you, sir.
Great to see you once again.
Very excited about this. You're a type of individual that has this moonshot mindset, really. You think so big. It's almost unrealistic how big you think. And you get other people who have an unrealistic mindset based on what a lot of people think is possible. And you enroll them in a vision of what you can see as possible in the future, but may seem impossible right now.
Yeah, I like to say that the day before something is really a breakthrough, it's a crazy idea.
Uh-huh.
Right? So where are we trying crazy ideas in the world?
Yes.
And I think we're living in a time where there's more capital than ever before. There's more capability, more data, more knowledge, more compute, more everything. And so, honestly, there's very few things that are not possible. It's a matter of getting the passionate, purposeful mind focused on making it happen.
It's funny because I was flying a couple weeks ago and I was thinking, you know, 100
in an airplane, right?
Yeah, in an airplane. Not like personally, but I was like thinking, you know, a couple hundred years ago, people would have like thought this was the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah.
If you said, I'm going to be in a tin thing, an aluminum thing or whatever, flying in the sky, going across the world, people would have thought you're nuts.
I have two 10, soon to be 11-year-old boys, and when they're on their tablet in an airplane, I was like, look out the window. It's a miracle.
It's incredible.
It is
incredible, right?
I know. And then the other thing is I remember, I don't know, it was a year ago or so, I made this trip like LA, New York, New York, Miami, Miami, LA in like 48 hours. And I was thinking to myself, that trip 100 years ago or 200 years ago would have been like, you know, years.
Your life.
Yeah, your life.
Your lifetime.
And it's like, I'm thinking about it. Anyway, it's crazy.
Even just, you know, I was talking to my girlfriend the other day and we were FaceTiming. I go, 15 years ago, we could not, like, imagine a video looking at you live from across the world.
Yes.
Like, this would have been sorcery.
For free.
For free, right? Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, how can you even create a video in front of you and see someone else across the world? It is mind-blowing. If you really think about what we've been able to create.
Yeah. And by the way, what we're going to create in the decade ahead, in the next two decades, is going to make us look like what we have today is standing still.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Every year I run this program called Abundance 360 for 360 entrepreneurs, CEOs. And I do two things. One is I look back 100 years ago at what was the innovation 100 years ago? Right. And you can actually like search patents, headlines, all of that. And then I look at what's occurred in just the last 12 months. And the last 12 months is stunning in, you know, in compute, sensors, networks, AI, robotics, 3D printing. 100 years ago, in 1922, there were six innovations. I don't know if I remember them. The water ski was invented. It was two boards and some wash line rope. Right. Vitamin E was discovered, a manually retractable roof for a car. Oh, and the blender was made for making malt shakes. And there was one more that I'm forgetting, but I mean, that was like in the course of the entire year of 1922 globally. Vegemite.
Vegemite. These were like massive innovations.
This was like the innovations of 1922. And it's like honestly, compared to what we have per microsecond today, it's insane. And we forget how incredible the world we're living in is today. And the tools that we have, more access to capital, compute, manufacturing, you know, connections to people globally around the world. It's like there is nothing that is not possible with the committed, passionate human mind.
In 10 to 20 years, what do you think is going to, if you said right now, this is going to happen, people would say there's no way. That's just not.
And we'll talk about, I think we're going to significantly extend the healthy human lifespan, learn how to reverse aging, which is an area of focus for me. You know, we are seeing right now autonomous cars and flying cars. The proper name is electric vertical takeoff or landing, eVTOLs. And they'll be here and they'll become part of the fabric, right? We'll all have an AI software shell, an AI that is monitoring everything for you, your biology. It knows your schedule. It just heard me say, okay, we're going to, be done in a couple hours, and it's got an autonomous car waiting for me without me asking, because it knows where I need to get to next, right? So the world's going to become very, what I call automatic and magical. In our world. Things just materialize. Your desires, become reality.
It's like Amazon Prime, but now. It's like everything now, right? It's like ahead of time. It's as I'm thinking about it, it comes to me.
Brain-computer interface is coming fast and furious, right? Connecting, you have 100 billion neurons, 100 trillion synaptic connections in your brain. Connecting that to the cloud, to increase our intelligence, our conversations. Fascinating stuff.
What are you most excited about in a decade?
In a decade's time, I'm focused a lot on the biotech breakthroughs that are coming our way. The ability using CRISPR and gene therapy to cure almost every disease is coming fast. The idea, I have a $500 million venture fund that 2/3 of it right now is being invested into biotech and health tech. So that's super cool for me. It's like, listen, I'm 60 and I'm shooting for, many hundred years. So it's like
just, many hundred.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Listen,
in this body,
updated, upgraded, whatever the case might be. I think honestly, there is people say, oh, well, listen, aren't you going to be happy with 10 or 20 or 30 years? And yeah, that's fantastic. Add another 20, 30, make 100 years old and you're 60. But one thing to realize is that if we add 30 healthy years, so you've got the cognition, you're thinking clearly, the aesthetics, you look good, the mobility, you're moving well. If you add 30 healthy years, science is not standing still during those 30 years, right? It's moving and the speed is accelerating. So, a lot of the work right now is around the idea of slowing, stopping, and reversing aging. There are species on this planet, from the bowhead whale to the Greenland shark to sea turtles, that live 200, 300, 400, 500 years. If they can, why can't we?
Interesting. 500 right. years.
Yeah. Yeah. Greenland shark at a minimum does 400 to 500 years.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is incredible.
So with CRISPR, I've just started learning about CRISPR in the last few months. For those that have never heard about it, can you explain what it is and how can you use something like CRISPR to, take genes from the shark that lives 400 years or whatever and help humans use it in a way to help us live longer?
CRISPR is an editing technology that's been discovered out of bacteria. And it's evolved over billions of years as a means by which bacteria prevent themselves from being infected by viruses. There are things called bacteriophage that infect bacteria. And anyway, Jennifer Doudna and her partner, who won the Nobel Prize in 2020 in chemistry for discovering CRISPR, learned how to manipulate it and utilize it. And some folks at Harvard, like George Church and others, turning it into a tool that allows you to go into your genome and accurately change letters. So each of us, you and I, have 3.2 billion letters in our genome, 3.2 from our mother and 3.2 from our father. And those genes basically are your software, right? And sometimes you might be born with a genetic disease, a mutation, like sickle cell anemia, thalassemia. There's thousands of them. And you're stuck with it. And it could be fatal or it could be inconvenient. Medicine has over the years tried to just you know, how do we treat it? How do we remove the symptomology, but you still have it?
You still have it.
And CRISPR is an opportunity to go into your genome and make the edit and cure you, right? You know, C-U-R-E, cure. And for example, there's CRISPR trials going on right now to cure people with AIDS, where you go in, right, the HIV virus is in your, has been integrated into your genome, can use CRISPR to go in there and cut it out.
And delete it.
And delete it, right? This
that's
is like
crazy.
Word, this is word processing for the letters of your body. So that's probably not, we're not going to probably use CRISPR for longevity, but it's going to help us live our longest, healthiest life. And then we're going to learn how to make changes that will extend it. One of the big areas, and you know, we're also beginning to learn how to grow extra organs, like a backup set of, you know, kidney, lung, you know, heart, thymus, pancreas. And that's pretty cool to have a backup set of organs for yourself.
Right. So you can do the surgery if you need to. What would you do? Print it?
Well, there's a few different approaches. One, Martine Rothblatt, who's an incredible entrepreneur, what Martine has done is gone after pigs, and turns out pigs have the same size heart, liver, lung, kidney as humans do, and modified the surface antigens and removed the viruses and making them compatible for transplant. So you can make an infinite supply of humanized pigs that are then available instead of, because right now, what do we wait for someone to die in an automobile accident.
And then we use that organ, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first transplant happened with a pig heart within the last 6 months.
Yeah, so it was a liver transplant that was done into someone who was brain dead, but the family allowed the transplant to take place as a first step.
Interesting.
And then there was a heart transplant that was done about 3 or 4 months ago. Now the patient only survived for little over a month, it's the first. It's the first step.
Interesting.
Yeah,
but maybe if there's a way that CRISPR could change the DNA of the heart first, and then transplant.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is, you know, it's the early days, but I think it begins to change the way we think about what's possible in our lives. Like, what would you do if you had an extra 50 years, if you knew you were going to make it to 150, would it change when you have kids, whether you get married, how many careers you have, how long you work, your desire to go and see another star system? You know, I mean, how does it change? Because life is precious. There's no question about it. But this idea that you are going to retire and then go out to pasture and you know, give up on life, I think is bullshit. I think if you feel good, if you've got the energy, if you're thinking clearly, the only time more exciting than today is tomorrow.
Right. What would you do if you had an extra 50 years? If you knew, if I stay healthy and there's no accidents in my life and I know I could, my body could take it to 150.
I mean, listen, I love starting companies. I'm on my 25th or 26th company right now. There's a few adventures on the planet, a few parts of the planet I haven't seen yet that I'd love to go to. I definitely want to go and walk on the moon and walk on Mars and go start a colony in probably in the asteroid belt. You know, it's like open up the space frontier and just see the future. I mean, my kids are 11, so I had kids when, 49, 50. And they've got incredible life ahead of them, right? So kids born today could have an indefinite lifespan.
Really?
I mean, we'll see. It's like we're beginning to understand why we age and why we may not need to. And it changes a lot of things, right? Including Social Security and government operations and the institutions of marriage and all kinds of things. You know, would you go and have a third, fourth, fifth family? Who knows?
Interesting. What are the main causes of why we age?
Your genome at birth, 3.2 billion letters that you're software code you're running, and at age 20 and 40 and 60 and 80 and 100 is the same. Small mutations, but roughly is the same. And so the question is, why don't you look the same?
Right, why is that?
Why is it? Well, it's not the genes you have, it's what's called your epigenome. It is epi from the Greek word above, which means what genes are turned on and what genes are turned off. And so as we get older, the body goes into dysregulation. It was never designed to live past age 30.
Really?
So, yeah, because 100,000 years ago, think about this. You would go into puberty at age 13.
Mm-hmm.
No birth control. You'd be pregnant by 14. And then by the time you were 28, your kids were having kids.
That's crazy.
Right? And back then, before we had abundant food, before Whole Foods and McDonald's was around, the last thing you wanted to do to perpetuate the species was steal food from your grandchildren's mouths. And so there was never benefit, right, for being the old member of the tribe who's strong-arming for food or holding the tribe back. And so there was no selective pressures against a person living longer or promoting a person living longer. So we never did. And so the body goes into a rapid dysregulation. For example, when we're born, we have this large supply of stem cells in our body. As we age from like birth to into your 40s and 50s, the stem cells in your body can fall a thousandfold. So there's something called stem cell exhaustion. That's one of multiple causes. Your mitochondria, your power sources for your cells. So recently, Tony Robbins and I wrote a book called Life Force. And it hit number one in the New York Times for like the first 3 weeks was out. Super proud.
It's an amazing book, yeah.
Yeah, and it's in a, the book looks at all of the breakthroughs today that are have just come out, have been out for a bit, and then the ones that are coming out. And for treating cardiovascular disease, cancer, neurodegenerative disease, Alzheimer's, for increasing your vitality and your strength. And what I can tell you is that the speed of innovation is breathtaking.
Wow.
Right, is breathtaking. And part of that is understanding why we age. There's a great, another book called Lifespan. So Tony and I wrote Life Force. A guy named David Sinclair wrote Lifespan. Are you familiar?
Yeah, I've had David on a few times.
Fantastic. Yeah. So David's brilliant and he does an incredible job of explaining why we age and his work in the Sirtuin systems. These are the seven genes and factors that control your epigenome and also control repairing mutations in the genome. So the good news is what was used to be a crazy idea. I mean, people would laugh at you and you wouldn't get funding if you were talking about the idea of longevity research or age reversal is now become mainstream. It's the hottest subject. You know, arguably tens of billions of dollars are flowing in per year into research. Yeah.
If you're I just turned 39, so I'm going to be 40 next year. If you're me, what were the things you say you need to start thinking about doing or applying ASAP that are free or pretty inexpensive right now? And then what are the things that if you're like, if you got the funds, like these three things you got to invest in now, so, like yesterday?
Great question. So number one, it's still the basics, right? It's
eat well, sleep well.
Yeah, it's 8 hours of sleep, and I've got my Oura Ring, and I actually, when I was in medical school, used to pride myself on getting by with 5 or 5.5 hours of sleep, right? It was like the manly thing to do.
Now, I think Tony was like that for a long time too, right?
He has been, and he, I think he's finally got religion as we wrote this book. But I pride myself on 8 hours of sleep now. I really am shooting for that. I'm getting, you know, in bed by 9:30 because my eyes pop open at 5:30. So if I want to get those that sleep, that's what I got to do. It's like bringing the temperature down, wearing an eye mask, you know, a cooling blanket, all those things. And there are tricks and trades. There's a great book by Matt Walker called Why We Sleep.
Yeah, he's great.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah, we've had him on too. He's great.
So sleep is critical. Minimizing sugar. I mean, sugar is in moderation is fine, but sugar is an inflammatory molecule. It causes neuroinflammation, cardiovascular disease. It's not a good thing. You know, I tend towards a plant-based diet. I tend towards minimizing any kind of red meat. I'm mostly fish and Mediterranean diet. And then exercise is key, right? So as much exercise as I can get, I'll squeeze
really?
In there. So those are the those are the basics. And there's a whole slew of supplements. If you have the money and it's not too early for you to do this, I started a company called Fountain Life, and Fountain Life is in the book. in detail. We have facilities in New York, in Pittsburgh, in Florida. We're opening soon in Dallas, in Santa Monica here. And it's a annual membership. And you go and we do a digital upload of you. It's the best I can describe it. We do a full body MRI. Brain MRI, brain vasculature. And those, what we're looking for there is finding cancer at the very beginning, at stage zero, right? And also finding any kind of aneurysms. And so 2% of people who come through have a cancer they don't know about.
Come on.
That's crazy, right? 2.5% have an aneurysm they don't know about.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
All right, an aneurysm is an opening in the arterial vessel. If you've had someone die in their sleep, a lot of times it's from an aneurysm that bursts. And then we do a coronary, an AI-enabled, what's called a Clearly CT. And so historically, you'd go and you'd get your calcium score. And if you had a lot of calcium, that was considered bad. But calcified plaque in your coronary arteries is stable. It's the soft plaque you need to be worried about that can rupture and then block, you know, one of the coronary arteries. And we use an AI enabled CT called Clearly, CLEERLY, to find soft plaque.
Okay.
And then we monitor that for you. And then we do a GRAIL test, which is a blood test that can find 50 different cancers. We do all of your omics, your gut, your genomics, everything.
How long does this take to do all these tests?
It's 5 hours.
Total.
Is it painful? Do all the imaging. No, not at all.
You just have to be patient and sit there.
And then we do a quarterly follow-up and you get a concierge doc with you.
Interesting.
But the idea is, listen, all of us are going to develop a disease at some point, right?
Well, they're saying death is a disease, right? I mean,
exactly. And so, but
aging is a disease.
Aging
right?
is a disease. But you're going to, you know, God willing, you don't, but a cancer, a neurodegenerative, you want to find something at the very beginning when you can zap it.
Uh-huh. And so, if you find it at the beginning, there's ways to reverse them?
Yes, there are. Listen, your chance, if you discover any of these things early enough on, there are from cardiovascular and cancer and neurodegenerative and all of these things. Yes, you want to find it in the beginning. And people go, well, I don't want to know. Bullshit. You want to know as early as you can so you can take action.
Was there anything that you found that was,
so
that you're nervous about?
So my biggest risk is cardiovascular, heart disease. My father, I think, pretty much passed from implications of cardiovascular disease. And I have reversed the cardiovascular disease that I've had with a series of medical protocols.
Interesting.
And that makes me feel
much more empowered, right? And so monitoring then my muscle and my bone density and everything else. But knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. And if you want to live a long and healthy life, you want to know as much as you can going into this.
Is this so, something you do every year then?
I do every year, yes. I've done it. We have a facility, we have a sister company called Human Longevity, HLI, okay. in San Diego. And so I had been going to the one in San Diego for the first 5-6 years. And then last 2 years, I've been going to this new company that—
In Santa Monica?
And, well, it's nationwide, okay. but called Fountain Life. You can go to fountainlife.com. Santa Monica will open by the end of this year.
I'm going to have to check that out.
You should. And I think if you can afford it, and it's not cheap, it's, you know, $19,500 for the first year and then $14,500 for every year thereafter. But it includes a concierge doc and includes all of the workup, and it's a fiduciary for your health, mm-hmm. right? Now, the cool thing we're doing on top of that, which I love, is we're reinventing health insurance. So I think, and we have something called Fountain Health, which is our insurance program for, it's for self-insured companies right now, but we'll go beyond that. So, you know, think about this. Life insurance pays you after you're dead, mm-hmm. right? Health insurance pays you after you've been sick. Fire insurance pays you after your house burns down. And that's just like pathetic. And so what we're doing with Fountain Health is when you get this health insurance, all of the testing I mentioned before is free. Mm. And so our job is to test you annually.
Interesting.
And catch the disease at the beginning and prevent it from happening.
So I pay for the health insurance. I get the testing from Fountain Life for free.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's...
So it helps you prevent and not have to spend.
It's all about preventative. Yeah. It's personalized, preventative, predictive healthcare.
You mentioned, you know, you lose stem cells. I think you said you lose after a period of time.
So the other side of Fountain Life is we have therapeutics.
Okay.
And... there are a whole slew. In fact, my meeting right after our conversation is going to meet with one of my physicians. I've got an army of them to look at what therapeutics I want to do this year.
Okay.
And so there's things called senolytic medicines. So it turns out your cells in your body are replicate on the order of 50 times. And at the end of 50 replications, they should die, make room for new cells. Unfortunately, sometimes they don't die and they become cancers, or they can stick around in what they're called a zombie cell or a senile cell. And these cells are sitting there just pumping out inflammatory. Wow. And about 2% of the cells in your body are these zombie senile cells. And so there are medicines you can take that can target those and kill them. And those are called senolytic medicines. And so there are things like dacinib, quercetin, and rapamycin. And then there are exosomes and stem cell treatments. Now, what we're working on, because today you can get your own stem cells. You can go to your bone marrow or your blood and separate out stem cells, concentrate them,
right?
And give them back. Uh-huh. But you can bank them or give them back to yourself. Uh-huh. Or you can go and get stem cells from the placenta of a newborn. And we are working to get approvals in the U.S. from the FDA under what's called an investigational new drug application to do that. Because right now, we at Fountain Life will make recommendations for facilities in the Caribbean or in Costa Rica or Panama. Or other places where you can go. But you can't get newborn stem cells legally in the United States because they've not been FDA approved.
Right.
Our goal is do the science, demonstrate what's possible, and get the FDA approval so that we can rejuvenate ourselves.
Have you done stem cell work yourself?
I've done some stem cell work. I'm looking at for sort of the decade ahead. I've done exosomes.
What's that?
Which are legal. So when a stem cell, a newborn stem cell, is sitting there and it's producing growth factors, those growth factors are not just pumped in out. They are put into these small vacuoles, like a piece of cellular membrane from the stem cell that has the growth factors in them, and then they're released. And so they have no DNA, they have no organelles. They're basically the messaging factors. And you can separate those out from the placenta, the newborn placenta, and provide those as, so you're getting the therapeutic output of the stem cell without getting the cells themselves.
Right. What, is there anything other advanced things that you've done for yourself already, like with injections or pulling out blood or anything like that?
Yeah, so I'm on testosterone optimization right now. So
is that the pellets or is that like
an
injection?
No, it's an injection twice a week that I do.
You look pretty jacked.
I feel, strong like ox. Smell like ox too. But I've not done growth hormone yet. I'm looking at that. I'm looking at something called total plasma exchange. Mm. So this is like changing your oil, where you'll pull out a few liters of blood, you'll separate out the red cells and the white cells, and then the rest of the plasma is typically saline and albumin, which is a major protein, and you can replace those, and you are sort of refreshing your blood supply. So there was you probably remember this, a whole bunch of conversation around the idea of young blood. Uh-huh. Remember that? Yeah. There were these parabiosis experiments that when my business partners, Bob Hariri, Dr. Hariri, who's the CEO of Cellularity, did years ago, in which you took an old mouse and a young mouse and you connected the circulatory systems. And the old mouse got young and the young mouse got old. And I was like, what's going on? This is interesting. And so there are a few different things. There's a company that has identified one factor called GDF-11, growth factor 11, and is manufacturing that right now.
Interesting.
My venture fund's an investor in that. And it falls off as we age. And so the question is giving it as we age going to be part of that young blood experiment? But what they also did was they took the old mouse and they took out the blood and replaced it with this total plasma exchange, and the mouse got younger too.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of different factors. I mean, we're in the early part of this adventure, right? There's this concept called longevity escape velocity, and that Aubrey de Grey and Ray Kurzweil talk about, which is today, for every year you're alive, science is extending your life for about a quarter of a year.
Yeah, wow.
But there's going to be a point at which for every year you're alive, science extends your life for greater than a year, right? From all the breakthroughs that are occurring. So what is that? When is that going to happen? Ray Kurzweil's prediction was a dozen years from now. And then I asked another friend, George Church, he's one of the most brilliant scientists on the planet, genomicist at Harvard. And his answer shocked me. He said 15 years from now. So our mission is not to die from something stupid in the interim.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
And so we talk about a lot of this in Life Force. And it's really about how do you maintain vitality, the energy, the desire, right? Because people retire when they're not feeling well, when they don't have the energy anymore, they're not excited about life. And then there's a whole bunch of supplements I take. It's like a laundry list of supplements. And
resveratrol
resveratrol and NMN.
Everything from Sinclair. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of others. And at the end of the day, our body is a machine, and we are beginning to discover why we age. How do you slow it down? How do you stop it? Maybe how do you reverse it?
Mm. How important is love, purpose, and inner peace in extending our lifespan?
Yeah, I think they're extraordinary. I think mindset, I talk about food, exercise, sleep, and then mindset is fundamental.
Uh-huh.
I think love and companionship and purpose. You've all heard the stories of, you know, the couple that is deeply in love and one dies and the one dies shortly thereafter, right? I mean, I think you can will yourself to death. And of course, our founding fathers, this country, I forget which two of them, like, you know, died within hours of the 50th anniversary of the founding of the country.
Wow.
Right? They went like, I'm going to make it to that point. I'm going to, damn it, I'm going to make it there, right? And so having a purpose, and this is something that is really deeply meaningful for me right now. And I'm spending a lot of time on this. I had an experience. So I co-founded something called Singularity University with Ray Kurzweil. And I did that now almost 15 years ago. And we have executive programs and graduate programs and Abundance 360. My program is the year-round highest level version of Singularity University. And the graduate programs, we'd get 100 graduate students from around the world, top of their class, the best in AI and robotics and medicine, whatever it might be. And I remember every year I would ask a question, how many of you are clear about your purpose in life? And shockingly,
not many would respond.
Less than half the class. And I expected 90% there, right? And
it was like the brightest of the bright.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just, you know, from the top universities and entrepreneurs. And so it would be like 40% would raise their hand. And I'm like, holy shit. Listen, for everybody who doesn't know, your mission in this program is to find your passion and purpose. That's all. I don't care what you build as a company. Find your passion and purpose because it drives everything. It's a great Mark Twain quote. He says, there are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you found out why.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm on a mission right now to help people find their passion and purpose. And so I just launched, it's a free 30-day program called Mindset Bootcamp.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to diamandis.com/mindset, you sign up. It's a 30-day sequence of emails that will hopefully change the way you see your life and your world and help you find your passion, find your purpose, but then give you insights into the mindsets that will enable you to fulfill your passion mm-hmm. and your purpose.
What happens if we don't find our passion or our purpose?
I think you're on a meandering walk, and you can still enjoy yourself, but I think it's really at the end of your life, looking back. And by the way, your passion, your purpose can be your family. And that can be just 100%, and it can be fulfilling in that. It can be, you know, to go and open the space frontier. It can be mm-hmm. to go right a wrong. It's like, you know, a lot of this, and I talk about this in this in the Mindset Bootcamp, a lot of this comes from emotional energy. We're emotional beings.
Yes.
Right? We need that emotional energy to do anything big and bold in the world. And that emotional energy can come from awe and excitement. So for me, you know, I was born in the 60s and it was the Apollo program and Star Trek, right? Apollo showed me, you know, what we could do. And Star Trek was that visionary documentary that showed us where we were going. Mm-hmm. And that lit me on fire. And everything I've ever done is a result of that passion, that purpose. And that's a positive passion and purpose. People who've been wronged in their life, whatever it might have been, it's like, I refuse to let that happen again. Mm-hmm. I will not let that happen to another person. And that can fuel your passion and purpose.
Right.
And I think it just makes every day more meaningful. It's like waking up in the morning and moving the needle, making a dent in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the important thing for folks who have not found their passion and purpose. It's easier than ever before. The tools you have to do something big and bold in the world are greater than any time ever in human history.
Mm-hmm.
Access to more capital, more knowledge, more compute, more connected people on the planet. And so I don't care if you're 80 years old beginning your journey or if you're 8. It's like finding a purpose-driven life, I think, is a really important element. So, you know, My boot camp is part of that equation.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, it's really helping people find the mindset. So I deal a lot with entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And one of my favorite questions for them is, okay, give me your favorite entrepreneurs. Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, you know, whatever your list is. Or your favorite leaders on the planet, Martin Luther King, you know, mm-hmm. Mahatma Gandhi, whatever it is. And I said to you, what made them succeed? Was it the cash they had in the bank? Was it the technology they had access to, or was it their mindset? And I think, I know you'd
mindset.
Agree. Yeah, mindset's everything, right?
Of course.
And so whereas the greatness mindset, gratitude mindset, abundance, exponential, longevity, moonshot mindset. Because if you took away their money and you took away their relationships and you took away their technology, if they maintained their mindset, they'd get back a lot of what they lost. Maybe they'd go even further. And so if that's true, what mindset do you have?
Mm.
You know, I ask them, what mindset do you have? And where did you get it from? Did you just like happen to inherit it? Did you get it from your mom, your dad, your school, your brother, your sister? Where was it? And I think that we should be more actively choosing the mindset we desire,
mm-hmm.
and then shaping the mindset. So, I mean, we both are knowledgeable about, you know, AI and machine learning, that it's really incredibly, it's rising monumentally. And when you think about machine learning, what machine learning is as a form, as a one of the areas of AI, is you're showing a computer neural net image after image after image, data point after data point after data point, and you're training that neural net to recognize cats or dogs or the English language, whatever the case might be. Our brains are neural nets. And what we see, what we listen to, who we hang out with, all of that is training our neural net. So mm-hmm. I'd like to say, if you're watching CNN for 2 or 3 hours a day, and I call CNN the crisis news network, or the constantly negative news network, you're going to feel like you're under attack, like the world is ending, and your mindset's going to be a very negative mindset.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, it's like, don't do that. Just
turn
don't.
It off. Yeah.
I mean, and so I'm on, you know, I haven't watched any network news. I will get up in the morning. I'll do two things. I will spend about 10 minutes on Google News, right? And just look at what's going on.
Headlines,
to make sure there's nothing in the world I need to know about. Also, my mom will call me and tell me this thing.
I need to know about.
And the other is I built an engine called FutureScope. And you might actually like this. So FutureScope, as an engine, allows you to build customized news feeds for yourself.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I built two. One's called FutureLoop. And so what I did was I gave FutureScope, the AI engine there, all of my blogs, my books, my Twitter stream, and it modeled the way I think.
Mm.
And then it searches the world's news every day and brings the news to me that has positive semantic, about converging exponentials impacting the industries I'm interested in.
Uh-huh.
So if you go to futureloop.com, you'll get 15 articles every day selected by Virtual Peter on longevity, on space, on reinventing transportation, reinventing health, reinventing retail. And I use GPT-3, which is one of the AI engines out of OpenAI. And it's like, this is the news I care.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Care about.
Mm-hmm.
This is the stuff in the world that I want shaping my neural net.
Sure.
And then I created another one called longevityinsider.org.
Okay.
And I love it. Longevityinsider.org, it scrapes everything on Twitter, all the science journals, all the news journals. And I get 15 updates every day on breakthroughs in longevity vitality and health. And the engine picks the photo, the AI engine picks a photo, and it writes a very understandable summary of the article. So you don't need to have any medical background. It's like, oh, that's fascinating. And for me, that's part of our longevity mindset. If you believe that you have the potential to add 30 healthy years on your life, you're gonna treat your life much differently than if you don't.
Yeah.
If you think, you know, you're gonna be dead at 70, 75, you know, you're gonna give up on life. If you think you've got an extra, you know, you're doing 120 in a healthy way, then you're going to be, you know, looking at starting your next company, getting your next boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever the case might be.
If someone is stuck in a negative mindset, but they want to lean more into a purpose-driven mindset, what are some of the steps they can take? Because this is a conditioning that some people have for decades.
It is. And you can, the beautiful thing about the human brain is it's plastic. In the term of plasticity, it's changeable. And you just need to do that rewiring. And there are a number of different things you can do. It's, what are you reading?
Yeah.
What are you watching? Who are you hanging out with? Right? I mean, just think about it for yourself. Would you rather hang out with someone who is like a positive mindset, you know, there's no problem I can't fix, you know, or someone who's reading the obituaries and just like, you know, it's not to say that there are times in our life when there's something going on in the world that we need to pay attention to because we have the ability to make a difference. But I don't need to be bombarded by it every day.
Right.
Because it doesn't make me a happier person or a more active person. I think it's, again, what are you letting in? What posters are on your wall?
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget when I was in medical school, I was starting my first university called the International Space University. My co-founder, Todd Hawley, I think as a joke and really just to goad me, put on his wall Murphy's Law, which is if anything can go wrong, it will. Right?
Things start going wrong.
it's like just really offensive. And so I had a whiteboard behind me. I went to my whiteboard and I wrote, if anything can go wrong, fix it, to hell with Murphy. And I wrote Peter's Law over it.
Then
I have like Google Peter's Laws. There are like 32 of them now. You know, when given a choice, take both. Start at the top and work your way up.
Mm.
Do it by the book, but be the author.
That's cool.
The best way to predict the future is create it yourself. And the truisms that I live my life by.
Mm-hmm.
So what's on your walls, right? Who are your most positive minded, you know, optimistic friends? Spend more time with them. You know, if you want to get thin or in good shape, hang out with people who are thin and in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are just fundamentals. And then, you know, that's a lot of part of the element that I talk about in my mindset bootcamp. The other part is giving people the data. So a few of the mindsets that I focus on, an abundance mindset. Let's talk about that a second. So what's an abundance mindset?
Mm-hmm.
An abundance mindset is the belief that there is nothing truly scarce. So we grew up as a human species in scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And our physiology and the way our brain is wired for scarcity. And so an abundance mindset, I'll give you two simple examples and go into more detail here. If I have an orange tree, I'm 5'5", I grab the oranges from the lowest hanging branches, all of a sudden, oranges are scarce again, until I invent a piece of technology called a ladder that gives me higher reach, and now I've got access to oranges again. If you've got a pie, and you've got, you know, family of four coming over for dinner, but then all your neighbors hear about it, and they all come for dinner,
mm-hmm.
you have to slice the pie into thinner and thinner slices. In an abundance mindset, it's like, bullshit, we're going to go bake more pies.
Right.
Right? So the realization is technology is turning whatever used to be scarce into abundance. Another great example. We used to go kill whales on the ocean to get whale oil to light our nights.
Mm.
Right? Then we ravaged mountainsides to get coal. Then we drilled kilometers into the ocean ground to get oil. And now we're living on a planet that has 8,000 times more energy from the sun than we consume as a species in a year.
Mm-hmm.
8,000 times. 2022 is the first year that we'll have more electricity added to the grid from solar than any other form. And so we're heading towards a squanderable abundance of energy, right? Fusion is coming down the line. And anyway, so the realization is there is nothing truly scarce.
Does your mindset ever play tricks on you and go into scarcity, go into victim, go into...
Of course, I'm human. I mean, and that's the default code. And so I need to get myself out of it. Like, what's bugging me? And meditation in the morning is a great way to do that. You know, an exponential mindset is we evolved in a local and linear world. Nothing changed, right? The life of your great-great-great-great-grandparents and the life of your great-great-great-great-grandchildren was the same, right, over millennia. That was it. But today we're living in a world where technology is growing exponentially. Things are not changing century to century or decade to decade. They're changing year to year. And so an exponential mindset is understanding how computation, sensors, networks, AI, robotics, 3D printing, synthetic biology, augmented virtual reality, Web3, how all these technologies are transforming what each of us can do in our lives. You know, when I teach that to entrepreneurs, it's a really important to think about that. A longevity mindset we talked about.
Mm-hmm. The moonshot.
A moonshot mindset is around the idea that the majority of the world is happy with 10%. Right? The majority of the world is like, if I could get 10% more revenue or 10% lower costs, that's awesome. But we're living in a world today where you can go not 10% better, but 10 times better. We see this in our epic entrepreneurs. Astro Teller, who's the head of moonshots at Alphabet, gives a great example. He says, listen, if you're running a car company and you want to go from 50 miles per gallon to 55 miles per gallon, you could probably do that by lightweighting the materials, maybe making your aerodynamic a little bit more, or changing the tires or a little efficiency. But if I ask you to go from 50 miles per gallon to 500 miles per gallon, you need to start with a clean sheet of paper and reinvent what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about what Bezos did with Amazon, what Larry and Sergey did with Google, what Elon's done with Tesla and SpaceX, those are starting with clean sheets of paper and reinventing the model. So we all can think about our moonshots. It's like, where do you want to go 10 times bigger when the rest of the world is happy with 10%?
How does someone start reinventing 10 times bigger over 10%?
So again, I have a week worth of lessons on moonshot thinking in here. Part of it is realizing that the way it currently is done is not necessarily the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's first principles thinking. An example I give in the blogs are when Elon went to go do Tesla, the batteries didn't exist. And he
they
said
they didn't exist.
Well, the batteries at the price and the energy densities didn't exist to do this. And so he said, okay, well, how much should they cost? And then going and looking at the spot price for lithium and boron and the materials inside the batteries, realized that it can be, you know, an order of magnitude cheaper, but he'd need to do that, right? So just the way things are right now isn't the way they need to be. He did the same thing with reusable rockets. And so you've got to be clear about your purpose.
Mm.
What I talk about is you need to know what your massive transformative purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
What is that thing that you connect with in your heart and soul that is like you're not going to give up? So for me, my MTP early on was space. It was Apollo and Star Trek got me going. And I wanted to become an astronaut so badly. I went to medical school, half to make my parents happy, other half because if I wasn't a fighter pilot, physicians were the next likely. And when I learned about my chance of becoming a NASA astronaut, like 1 in 1,000, I mean, really, like very slim, I said, okay, I have to reinvent how to do this. And so—
And you went to MIT and Harvard and anywhere, top of everything.
I was top of the schools. I read a book called The Spirit of St. Louis one day that Lindbergh flew from New York to Paris, not on a whim, but to win a $25,000 prize.
Hmm.
And as a result of that, I said, I'm going to create a prize for private space flight. And so my moonshot became opening up the private space frontier. And we did that. We had the $10 million Ansari X Prize for spaceflight. We changed the rules and regulations. You know, Virgin Galactic basically bought the rights to the winning technology. I've known Bezos for 40 years. That X Prize sparked him, Elon. And so we lit the fuse on commercial spaceflight.
Wow.
And that was my moonshot. My moonshot now is age reversal. How do I reverse human age by decades?
Wow.
Because I want to go to the moon. I want to go to Mars. I want to go and see another star system.
When, if you could predict the exact day that you'll walk on the moon.
Oh.
What year?
2030 to 2032, that time frame. It's expensive still. You know, Starship will bring it down. I was just over at SpaceX with the commercial spaceflight team there. And, you know, they're selling tickets to orbit, and they're going to be selling
for like a quarter of a million or something, right? Or
I know, well, that's on a suborbital flight. Uh-huh. Orbit's 50 million right now.
50 million?
Yeah.
Sure, okay.
And then there's something called the cislunar orbit, like Apollo 8, where you launch from the Earth, and then you go out around the moon and come back.
That's kind of cool.
That's cool, yeah.
How much does that cost?
It's going to be on Starship, and that'll be, again, $50
million. $50
million
to go around. How long does it take to get to the
moon? It's like 3 days there and three days back. Yeah, so it's like a...
So it's a week trip to go around the moon.
Go around the moon.
But not land on the moon.
And so that's attractive as an idea. Right?
When would that happen?
A couple years.
People are going to go around the moon in a couple of years.
Yeah, there's a Japanese client who's already purchased the first Starship mission to do that.
That's crazy.
And he's, it's great. It's not crazy, it's great.
So you think in 10 years, 8 to 10 years, you'll walk on the moon?
I think that's a good objective for me. And the question is, will I do a cislunar? I took a few companies public last year. I'm going to wait for their stock price to go up.
if you let's say you had to do this in 5 years, you had to walk on the moon in 5 years, your life was over.
Okay. Yeah.
What would need to happen from you to shift the mindset to accelerate this half the time?
Elon is moving as fast as humanly possible. There's no question. I mean, the guy is brilliant off the charts. He's, you know, there's a great Joseph Campbell quote where someone is driven as a man whose hair is on fire seeks water. Right. I love that image, right? It's like, where is it now? I gotta go. And so on SpaceX, and I've been there throughout his entire journey from roughly 2000, 2001 when he sold PayPal to eBay to building SpaceX and what he's doing. He'll spend every penny he's got to make the human race a multi-planet species.
Wow.
And Starship, I remember I was with him one day back, I don't know, it was 8 years ago, and he was really bummed. And I was like, what's up? And he goes, we just figured out that the Falcon 9 vehicle is not going to get us to Mars. It's not going to fulfill the mission. It's all about getting the human race to Mars. And we're going to have to scrap that and do something new. And he made that decision, and Starship came out of that, right? So Starship is 10 times bigger. It's able to carry 100 people to orbit.
Wow.
It's able to, you know, it's a completely reusable, not just the first stage. It can land on the moon. It can land on Mars. And we'll be seeing it going to orbit this year, and that's the vehicle.
That's incredible.
It's humanity's first real Starship.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Not going to the stars, but interplanetary ship.
That'll go to the moon.
Land on the moon, go to Mars. Yeah, it's designed and built to colonize. It can take 12 people to the Martian surface.
When will it go to the moon?
2025. Wow. 3 years from now.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. So I don't think there's anything I can do other than maybe throw a little more money his way, but he's got it. I think he's got that.
I'm curious about your ability to enroll. I'm a big believer that life is about enrollment.
Yeah, completely.
Enrolling yourself in your vision, enrolling others in your vision, enrolling communities, the world in a mission, whatever it might be. When did you learn the skill set, the mindset of enrollment?
Yes, that's a really...
For your life. And also, again, you work with some of the most successful or influential people on the planet, whether they be the richest people in the world or influential people like Tony Robbins and Elon Musk and Bezos, you're working with them, you're in collaboration, you're enrolling them to give you hundreds of millions of dollars in ideas or businesses moonshots.
Yeah.
How have you developed that enrollment mindset?
That's a great question. No one ever asked me that. And I think it's really important for any entrepreneur, period, or a mother or a father, right? So I became driven by my desire to go to space.
Right. Well, when was this?
Well,
as a kid.
It was 9 years old, Apollo 11, 12 is going on.
Yes.
I'm 8, 9 years old, and Apollo catches my excitement, and I'm like, going to be a doctor, make my family happy, but I'm really going to become an astronaut,
yeah.
to make myself happy. And I get to college, and I'm at MIT as an undergrad, and I'm beginning to realize that becoming a government astronaut isn't necessarily the way I'm going to do this. And for some reason, I became enamored with creating a national and then an international space organization. It's out there now, you know, whatever that is, 40-odd years later. It's called Students for the Exploration and Development of Space, SEDS, and its chapters around the world throughout the United States. And I start this on the MIT campus, and Bezos is the president of the Princeton chapter, and a number of my friends are presidents.
Did you guys go to school at the same time?
Roughly. He was a couple years behind me.
Did you know him in college?
Through SEDS, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So at MIT, I find there's no space organization, no student space group. And I'm like, huh, interesting. I'll start one. And I found myself in starting that organization, getting all the skills I've used in life.
To like enroll what? People, you need to
enroll people to get up in stage and present your ideas and be able to organize people and to raise money. And it's like, it was like, you know, do I remember anything from my aerospace engineering or molecular biology courses on my team? No, but I remember the stuff I did in the evenings, right? So it's like, you know, school is about all the places that you challenge yourself and put yourself. And so SEDS was an incredible educational experience. And enrolling people, whether you're getting to work for you, work with you, fund you. And people love supporting people who are both passionate, right? Finding that person, purpose and passion. And you know when someone's lit on fire. And it's like, I want to help you because I like your spirit, right? That's that kind of mindset.
Right.
The other part of enrollment is the data, is showing people the reality of like, here's the information. This is why this is possible. This is what happens if this is true. So it really is the heart and the mind, right? You need to get them cognitively so they understand it and they understand whether it's getting them to put money from their investment hat or the philanthropic hat and their heart, because you know, people want to make the world a better place. I believe in the positive nature of a human.
So is this a different conversation for each individual based on who they are, how they think, how they're wired?
It is.
So if you're calling, let's just give me an example. If you're going to call Tony for something or you're going to call Elon for something, would you have a different approach on enrollment?
For sure.
And what's the intention you set before you do the meeting, the phone call, the FaceTime, whatever it is, before you say, hey, I got this idea.
Yeah.
I'd love to tell you about it. What's the intention internally?
Not bullshitting the person. It's coming across authentically. I think it is being clear about what my role in involvement, like, I think this is critically important. I put my money, I put my reputation on.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
On this. Also, it's not being attached to the outcome.
Whether they say yes or no.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can drive with passion, but one of the lessons I learned when I was at Running Seds, I was trying to get a place called Draper Labs to donate money to publish my newsletters and mail them to all the Seds chapters. And I go in there and I'm like meeting with the head of Draper Labs. And at the end, it's like we're a nonprofit, we can't donate money and so forth. And I was really bummed because I'd really set this expectation I was going to succeed. And I'm walking out the door and I stopped myself and I said, is there any chance you could do the printing for us and the mailing for us? And he goes, absolutely. And so it was realizing that any meeting you go into, you should walk away with something. Even if it is a clear critique of your idea or advice as to who might want to do this, or a request for an introduction.
Mm-hmm. Or come back to me with this.
Yes, exactly.
And I'll take another look or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Or can I just at least take this bottle of water for free? You know, can I get something?
Or this.
Something. This school
fancy,
greatness mug.
Yeah. School of greatness mug.
Yeah, can I get something out of this? That's fascinating. So you learned at MIT the power of enrolling.
A lot of enrolling, and there is not taking no for an answer. When dealing with a bureaucracy, like one of my companies I started years ago is a company called Zero G. We do weightless parabolic flights, right? I wanted to go on NASA's airplane. They wouldn't let me. So I said, screw it. I'll start my own. And I went to the FAA and said, I want to take a, back then it was 727, take the airplane and seats out, put padding in, put 30 people in the back. Take the airplane, go up at 50 degrees and do this parabolic arc. And they were like, you want to do what? You're insane. There's no way that you can do this. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm not going to let these guys stop me. And I said, you're either going to retire or die before I give up.
Wow.
It took me 11 years.
To convince them.
To get the FAA to approve it. It was an amazing woman, Marion Blakey, who was the head of the FAA, the administrator. I finally had to go all the way to the top to get that approval. And we did. And we've been operating now. You know, you can, the website's gozerog.com. I just took 60 people up on two flights, took Pharrell.
That's cool. Pharrell went up there? Yeah. That's cool.
If it isn't your purpose,
you're going to give up on it.
You're going to give up on it. It's like the stuff, I've started companies just to make money. It's like, that's empty.
Mm.
No, not my purpose. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
This is what I'm focused on. Right.
Yeah. And sometimes your enrollment may be, how long are you willing to show up and say you care about this? It took you 11 years. Yeah. You had to keep showing up and reinventing your ask and meeting different people and building your own credibility and your proven results and showing what's possible, that where they finally said, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, right now, you know, I've got a few moonshots. One is around helping millions of people find their purpose in life, right? And it's like, how do I scale that? Because I think a person who's turned on to their passion and purpose is going to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's...
They'll be happier, healthier.
Happier, healthier, taking more shots on goal, going after more moonshots. And I think that's a way of making the world better. The other moonshot I'm focused on is age reversal.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a... either going to be $100 million or 2,000 Bitcoin X Prize for reversing the biological age of a person 20 years.
What does that mean?
So you have a chronological age, right? So I'm chronologically 60. You can measure a person's biological age. So biologically, last time I was tested, I was 49 and a half. Mentally, I'm like 28 or sometimes I'm 8. But
biologically, you're 49 and a half.
Yeah.
Is what your
that's what the testing did.
That's through testing what blood and different
health. It's testing what's called your epigenetic clock. It's looking at the methylation pattern, which controls your epigenome, what genes are on or what genes are off. My goal is a therapeutic, something you'll do to your body. It could be stem cells, could be gene therapies, it could be CRISPR. Who knows? I don't need to know the answer. That within a year of treatment, it could be a day of treatment, a month of treatment, but we're allowing up to a year, that we can reliably reverse your age, your biological age, 20 years.
That's crazy.
All right, and then at least 20 years. And then can you repeat that, right? Can you repeat that? So
that's amazing.
David Sinclair and George Church are both co-chairs of the advisory board for this. And
kind of the judges, essentially, right?
Yeah, it's helping design the prize, uh-huh. right? And then they may compete, in which case they wouldn't right. be the judges, but making sure the prize rules are set. And we have an amazing group. And I've kicked in money for this. Mm. I've raised about $70 million thus far.
Wow.
But I want to get it to at least, in fact, the principal donor right now, a guy named Chip Wilson, who was the founder of Lululemon, the first CEO, he said, I want to make it bigger than Elon's $100 million carbon prize. So he wants it to be $101 million. So he's put in $51 million. He put in half that.
Wow, that's amazing. What's the most you've raised, whether it be for your venture fund or business or XPRIZE?
I mean, each one is different. I mean, in January of last year, I reached out to Elon and talked to him about doing a carbon removal prize. And to his credit, he agreed pretty much on the spot. And so
that was $100 million, right?
$100 million, and then operating capital for the XPRIZE to run it, some additional couple of tens of million. And then the venture fund, Bold Capital Partners, we raised $400 million, and we're raising another $100 million to close out the round. So it'll be a $500 million round.
Wow. What's the difference between enrolling someone in $1 million or $100 million? Which one's easier for you?
Well, listen, it's the people who can contribute $100 million is more rarefied than people who can contribute $1 million, for sure. One of the things I get angry about is that there are a multitude of people out there who've got billions, tens of billions, hundreds of billions, and WTF, what are they doing with their money? I mean, there are very few people who are really taking full-on shots. You know, Elon is. There are a few others, but it's like, you can't take it with you. And if you leave it to your kids, you can destroy their lives.
Right.
So, it's like, there are a few, and I've gotten to know a number of people. And I'm like, guys, take some big shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, there's so many incredible things to go after. And it's so funny because we've gamified wealth retention. Right, so I don't want to drop from number 20 on the Forbes list to number 80 by right. giving away $10 billion. So we need a countervailing force, right? So, I've been...
Should be like number one donor list.
Who donated the most. Impact list, right?
Yeah, impact list.
And so I've gotten to know Tony Robbins very well. We're super close friends, written together, started a number of companies together. And like Tony's really, extraordinarily philanthropic and has committed to feeding 1 billion people, right? And he's like at 700 million on his way there.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so, we funded so XPRIZE right now, we've launched over $300 million of prizes, and those drive typically 10 to 20 times, so 3 to 6 billion of expenditures by the teams trying to win the prize.
Mm.
We got a prize that Tony and the government of Abu Dhabi funded called Feeding the Next Billion, which is really around stem cell grown meats, right? Lab grown meats. So where you can take a stem cell from a cow, a chicken, a tuna, whatever, and grow the final product without having to knock down more rainforests or,
create more schools of fish and all those things. Who would you say are a few of the most brilliant people you've worked with in terms of the Elons, the Bezos of the world? And what would you say are the greatest lessons that they've taught you? A few, there's so many, you probably can't name them all, but a few that you are...
I mean, so Ray Kurzweil, who is my co-founder for Singularity University, really helped me understand and embody an exponential mindset, right? And just the power of exponential technologies to take on the world's biggest problems. A guy named Gerard K. O'Neill, who's passed, he was a professor at Princeton, was a mentor for me, helped me understand how do you open the space frontier. Elon, I remember I was interviewing him on the stage at Goldman Sachs about some of this stuff, and he was like, yeah, my friends tell me what's great, my best friends tell me what's wrong, right? And just the importance of critical thinking. And then first principle thinking, the idea of looking at the fundamentals and what is possible from first principle physics. Because there's a lot of wishful thinking out there, but if you can boil it down in that regard. Martine Rothblatt, who's incredible, you know, she runs United Therapeutics. It's a $10 billion company she started. Her audacity, her daughter, and I, all these people are heroes in our book, Life Force, Martinez. She started Sirius and XM Radio as a when she was a he, undergoes sex change operations, but then later on discovers her daughter, Genesis, has a rare and fatal lung disease. Quits, liquidates her capital, starts with a high school textbook to learn biology.
Come on.
Develops a cure for her daughter's disease.
No way.
Yeah, it was, she tracked down Martine Rothblatt.
Wow.
And there's a whole chapter on her. And she had pulmonary fibrosis, and she tracks down a drug that it was an orphan drug that was never developed by one of these particular pharma companies, gets some white powder in a baggie, and takes it into the lab with the world's experts and starts developing it. And that drug is now a multi-billion dollar blockbuster drug for this particular disease, but then realizes the drug's not going to cure her daughter. And so she needs to create a supply of replacement lungs. And so starts on three different, you know, so it's an incredible story.
Wow.
And now Martine is, she's a helicopter pilot and also a, and she's funded one of the top flying car companies, the electric vertical takeoff or landing called Beta. And she wants to use the Beta eVTOLs for delivering organs to hospitals for transplant from our facility.
This is
right. So like
crazy.
Moonshot number eight. Yeah, crazy stuff.
Wow. I'm surprised I haven't heard about this.
And so, you know, Martine has taught me, you know, never, ever, 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 ever give up. You know, her comment is every no is one step closer to yes, right?
Wow. And how's her daughter now?
Great.
Wow. Yeah. This is fascinating. But it goes back to your idea of massive transformational purpose.
Yeah.
And people figuring out what that is, which will drive their decisions every day towards something meaningful to them.
Yeah, one of the lessons Martine has tried to teach me that I haven't fully gotten is how to say no to things, right? And so I'm—
To focus more.
To focus.
Because you're everywhere.
it's like that's my biggest challenge is really focusing in. And so it's something I try. I remember once Elon was on my board of trustees of XPRIZE along with Larry Page and a bunch of other amazing people. And I got a call from Elon saying, listen, I'm sorry, I'm stepping off of every board other than Tesla and SpaceX. This was, I don't know, a decade ago. And he just, that was what he needed to do to get those.
He blew it up, yeah.
And now, of course,
now he's everywhere.
And now he's every place. It's Neuralink and Boring Corporation, Twitter. Yes.
But there's probably a period of time where each person needs to focus their efforts and not dilute their efforts, so they can get bigger results.
Yeah, which, I think I'm there. Anyway,
you start saying notice.
Really, it's really
only have 50 things on your plate, not 1,000.
Well, it's understanding what is your MTP and what aligns with it, and just
going all in on it.
Focusing in on those, because if you get those to the next level, then they enable everything else. Right?
If you could only work on two businesses or two ideas that you have right now for
we'll talk about that in our next podcast.
Afterwards, you don't want to upset all the entrepreneurs you're working with. Yeah, I get you. What is missing inside of you to take your mindset to the next level?
That area of focus. I mean, I really goes back to that. I think the biggest thing I need to do is to focus. You know, I'm also, part of that is I'm a people pleaser in that regard.
Most of my life, tough.
And it's tough. So I was on stage with Eric Schmidt 2 weeks ago, you know, past chairman of Google and Alphabet. And we're having a fireside chat during my Abundance 360 program. And I said, you've known a lot of incredible leaders out there. And I asked the question, do you have to be an asshole to be successful at a global level? and in the multi-billionaire class. Not that he is or Larry or Sergey aren't, but there's a number of people, I won't go into it, that just don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. And so the question is, do you need to be that callous? Or if you're playing at that level where you've got tens of billions of dollars and you're a captain of industry, I mean, what happens is you get successful enough, you start surrounding yourself with people to protect you.
Right. And they become callous for you.
They become
Else. Yeah. What's the biggest lessons you've learned from Elon just in the last couple of years with everything he's been creating in terms of leadership style, in terms of investment style, in terms of strategy, in terms of his communication style on social media?
So it's interesting, right? So I had this conversation with him last April when we were launching this $100 million gigaton carbon where we spent the day together and we did a couple hour fireside chat talking about stuff. And he was showing me, he was tweeting out about our fireside coming out. And he was like, I'm only sending out tweets that are either funny or have information that is useful to the individual. I'm not going to, I don't use Twitter for marketing or anything like that. Now, whether or not he's actually held to that is a different story, but that was definitely his belief in that regard. And just the audacity and his focus. The guy, we all work hard, but when it comes down to it, I was backstage with him. He funded a prize called, it was a Global Literacy X Prize, what we called it. And we had the winners. You had to build a piece of software that could teach a child reading, writing, and arithmetic on their own. And we're giving away a final prize, and he's backstage with me and just super agitated. And I'm like, what up? He's like, Tesla is losing, $500 million this month. And it's like, we got to turn this around. And there's a SpaceX launch for the first Starlink satellite, and we're not sure if the coupling on the satellites and the frequency of the launch is going to cause it to blow up on. Or, and he was just like just super, and he has his five kids there and three assistants, and it's like the level of stress, right? So, when he said publicly a few times, you wouldn't want my life,
right?
And I believe that. I believe that to be true. He's driven. He's mentally driven.
Why do you think he's not excited about longevity as much as you are, or Tony is, or...
So, I had this conversation with him about when I was doing my earliest work in longevity, some years back, and he's like, I don't think people should live, forever or past, 80 or 100. And I was like, he goes, because I think people need to die to make room for new ideas. Huh. And I was like, maybe it'll change your mind when you're in your 60s or 70s. But I don't think that's true. I think a meritocracy, I think the best ideas can raise to the top. Mm-hmm. And I think that society can adopt new ideas and disrupt the General Motors of the world or the Lockheed Martins of the world. I don't think it needs to necessarily be about those leaders, those companies, moving on to the next life, afterlife.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting.
What advice would you give to him if you could give him one piece of advice?
He knows all the advice he needs of focusing and slowing down.
What advice do you have to someone who is gaining power? Maybe it's someone who's now got 100,000 followers when they didn't a year ago, or millions of followers, or they're in the top 20 most powerful people in the world of your peers. What advice do you give to people with power?
I think it's, again, what's your purpose?
Uh-huh.
It really comes down, the one thing that, I will go back to Elon, the thing that's guiding for him is that he will spend every penny he's got to get the human race onto Mars, right? And it's like, I'm clear about that.
Right.
No question whatsoever. He's not gonna take SpaceX public, because he didn't want shareholders telling him what he can and cannot do with his rockets. So if you're seeking power, I think it's empty unless it's in service of something. So what's your fundamental objective? You know, is it creating, feeding everybody healthcare, energy, clean water? What are you going to use your power for? Getting power for the sake of power is empty and meaningless. And yeah, just I think it makes for a very empty life.
I mean, how have you personally dealt with like, okay, more wealth, more access, more power? How do you keep your mindset abundant, moonshot, exponential, but not egotistical, overpowering, me, yeah. You know, and hurting others? How do you keep it in service to the mission and not to yourself?
I think, well, listen, my MTP, my massive transformative purpose, just to state it for the record here, is to inspire and guide entrepreneurs to create a hopeful, compelling, and abundant future for humanity.
Yeah.
So the stuff that I do, you know, XPRIZE, Abundance 360, it's in service. How do I inspire? How do I help people find their purpose and their passion? What are the biggest problems we're gonna take on? Mm-hmm. Now, there's beautiful alignment. I like to say that the world's biggest problems are the world's biggest business opportunities.
Right.
We wanna become a billionaire, help a billion people. There's nothing nothing wrong with you know, creating wealth and going big, but let's have it be in service of making the world a better place. And so I back the things that I think are making the world a better place, whether it's the venture fund or myself as an advisor. And I donate to things like the XPRIZE, FIRST Robotics, Dean Kamen's incredible program, St. Jude's, you know, those are my three big areas. And, you know, donating money is part of it, but it's donating your mind and your capabilities along with your capital mm-hmm. that matters.
Yeah. Who's the most inspiring hero that you've never met? That's Ooh. Either alive now or from history.
I mean, I have been eating up some of the founding stories of America, right? So mm-hmm. the founding fathers for me would have been an extraordinary group. I mean, the idea of starting a country fascinates
it's
me.
It's crazy.
Right? And so, you know, we're going to get a shot at that as we head to the moon and Mars and such.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. We're going to create new societal structures in the Web3 and the virtual world. And we'll have citizenship, American citizen, and a virtual citizen in these countries. But the real opportunity is when we start writing the legal code and the structure for off-world living.
That's nuts.
Yeah, but it's happening now. It's you know, whatever we evolve into 1,000 years from now, it's these next few decades that we're going to look back in history and say it was the time that the human race moved off the planet irreversibly. So it's a magical time.
What if you could ask one question of the founding fathers, and if you could also just share with them one thing that's happened since then that you'd get to share with them?
I'm fascinated by their wisdom. I mean, did they really understand the implications of what they were doing? And then I would have told them about where communications are going. You know, we have a representative democracy, not an actual democracy, because we never had the ability to ask people and get the world to vote or America to vote. So, and I would have probably said, you need to create some mechanism by which laws are sunsetted because the world of change is coming so fast.
Right.
And we have all these laws in the books that were might have been logical at the time, but are it's too hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's evolving. It's inspiring stuff. I always love getting to have conversations with you. I want people to follow your mindset bootcamp.
Yeah.
If they go to your website, diamandis.com.
Yeah, diamandis.com/mindset.
Right? It's a newsletter, 30-day newsletter, which teaches you this kind of bootcamp.
Yeah, it basically, it's free. It's just I'm trying to get as many people to like light up and see the world in a different way because mm-hmm. you can't unsee it.
Right.
And then, you know, just at Peter Diamandis on Twitter and Instagram.
And the book.
Then, yeah, the book Life Force.
Powerful book.
It's
game changer.
Yeah, it has the potential to add significant years on your life. And if you want to replace CNN with some constructive news, you can go to futureloop.com and and longevityinsider.org. And there is a free as well. And it's just my way of showing people where the world is and where it's going, because it's pretty extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Futureloop.com, yeah. I asked you this question last time. I'm not sure if you remember it. We'll see if the answers are the same or different. Uh-huh. It's called the three truths.
Okay.
So imagine you live 200, 300, 500 years, as long as you want, but eventually you got to turn the lights off and leave.
Yes.
Your body and this planet and the next planets or wherever you pass away. And for whatever reason, everything you've created has to go with you or goes to another planet. Right. And no one has access to it, right? It's lost in outer space. But you get to leave behind three lessons to the world, three things you know to be true from your experiences here. And this is all we would have to remember you by, your wisdom by. What would those three truths be?
Love is the most powerful force in the universe.
Uh-huh.
Just the fundamental glue. Find your purpose in life and live your purpose in life. That is the most important thing. And just ultimately be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say last time?
Well, if people want to hear that, they'll have to go to the previous interview and check it out, because one of the three were the same.
All right.
So if they want to know the other two, go
maybe,
check that
maybe
out.
You'll tell me.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. Before I ask the final question, Peter, I want to acknowledge you for your audacity to continue to dream so big.
Thank you.
I just feel like we need more models like you, people that think in a certain way, people that act and take big actions towards things to serve humanity in a better way. So I'm really inspired by your mission. I'm really inspired by your level of service.
Thank you.
And I'm excited to try some of these things out. I think it was the fountainlife.com.
Fountain life, yes.
I want to continue to improve my life. So I'm just inspired. It's really cool what you've created as a model for so many people in the world, entrepreneurs like myself. So I appreciate your mission and the model you've created. Final question for you. What's your definition of greatness?
Knowing that you have done all that you can and that you're operating at your highest level, it's like, I think that for me is, because being as great as you can. At the end of the day, if I know I have given, I've left nothing on the field, that's it.
There you go, Peter. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
A pleasure, pal.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's show with all the important links. And also make sure to share this with a friend and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts as well. I really love hearing feedback from you guys, so share a review over on Apple and let me know what part of this episode resonated with you the most. And if no one's told you lately, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.